We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hi again, everybody. Welcome back to the Buffs Insider, the weekly podcast here at the University of Colorado. I'm voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Hey, look who showed up. Well, I guess he wasn't in Arizona last week. Neil Welker, CUBuffs.com is back. We missed you last week, so it's time to get, you know, pick your brain, get some analysis on the Buffaloes.
You better have some really good tweezers.
Wait a second. I'm not finding anything here. I'm picking it. I'm seeing nothing here. Buffs, back home. Utah coming up, of course, tonight here at the Coors Event Center. Last week, road trip. Buffs had a couple of competitive ball games with top 25 teams. Of course, that's coming off the loss to Washington. So here we sit in a three-game losing streak right now. What's your kind of sense or read on the Buffs right now?
Mark, I think this is a really I'll state the obvious. Number one, it's a really big game for Colorado. It's the beginning of an eight-game stretch run in the Pac-12. Five of those eight are at home. They need to win every home game in this stretch, and it starts with the Utah game. I think there's still a chance for this team to play really well down the stretch. I love the way they've played at times. I thought they played well at Arizona, even in a loss, not so well against Arizona State. If they put everything together, this team has a chance to make a nice run, go into the Pac-12 tournament with some momentum. But it starts tomorrow. It starts tonight with Utah.
I'll say this about what Tad's been able to do with this team. You and I are both wondering a little bit through the month of December. He's kind of righted the ship with this thing, and I think they have continued to get better as the season has gone on, with a blip or two, you know, late defensively against ASU. But I guess that's one of the positives I'll take from this, is the fact that it has been a team that's gotten better throughout conference play.
No, I think it has, and I think it's still a case of consistency. You've got some freshmen who, you know, you're going to get something from one game, maybe not so much the other. They're getting more consistency lately from the two seniors, Dominique Collier and George King, have been consistent, and that's what has to happen in these last, you know, eight conference games, is they have to be consistent night in, night out, you know, every half. And I think if they get that, they have a good chance to play well and you know, finish with 10 or 11 conference wins.
The turnover issue was quite bothersome there for a while. They've cleaned that up a little bit, and I wonder some of that, and I think primarily we're talking about McKinley Wright here because he has the lion's share of the ball handling. Part of it was kind of the learning process for him a little bit, wasn't it? The fact that he does have his hand on the ball 90% of the time and had to kind of learn to play at this level.
Yeah, I think he had to learn to play at this level. I think it even took another step up. You know, when you go from non-conference into conference play, when he's seeing Pac-12, you know, high-level caliber play every night, I think it's opened his eyes a little bit. And I think, you know, since that USC game when they had 22 two turnovers. They've really cut that number down, and I think McKinley's a big part of that. His number is cut down. He's in the top 10 in the league in assist-to-turnover ratio. I think he's second in assists with about 6.3 a game, and so how he's handling the ball and what he's seeing from defenses, I think, is playing a big role in that.
You know, really, this three-game losing streak we're talking about here, I'm not bothered by the two losses down in Arizona. The Washington one kind of sticks in my craw a little bit.
That's the game that's going to bother them for a while. I know it bothers Tad right now. That's a home game that they – against a team that they think they should have beaten. They kind of beat themselves that night. They just didn't play well. That's a game that you want to get back somehow. You get a chance to go up there. You've got the Washington State trip coming up in a couple weeks. That's a road trip you'd like to go up and sweep.
Yeah, without question. You know, as you look at this team, and you don't want to put the cart ahead of the horse here, but you kind of read the tea leaves on how it's developing a little bit. McKinley, right, exhausted that conversation. He's a star in the making, obviously. But the way Tyler Bay, Deshaun Schwartz to a lesser extent, but he's coming, Dallas Walton, the way those guys have played, Lazar Nikolic to a lesser extent as well, but the way you see the potential with them and kind of what this team might look like down the road a little bit.
Yeah, you can see what they're going to look like in a couple of years. And even I think as they head down this last eight-game conference stretch, Mark, I think you're seeing that Tad's starting to figure out ways to get contributions from each of those guys you just mentioned. You know, some good minutes from Laz, some good minutes from Deshaun. Tyler Bay is in the top 10 in, I think I looked today, or top 20 in four or five different categories in the Pac-12 statistics. He's rebounding really well. He's like fourth in offensive rebounding. He's up in the top 10 in blocks. He's up in the top 10 in shooting percentage. And that's a guy who's very, very quietly, nobody's talking about, but that's a guy who's very quietly becoming a dominant player for Colorado and is going to have a big impact on this league, in a couple of years.
Can you imagine what happens with him when he figures out things on the offensive end? Because he's naturally a good defender because of the physical attributes he has. He's naturally a good rebounder. Tad made that comparison. Andre Robertson, and although Tad has said, I guess in hindsight, maybe that was a little bit unfair, you can see where it comes from just watching him, but when he finally develops an offensive game, I mean, if that happens, and again, you're a young guy, you never know how it's going to go, if that all happens, if he progresses as you expect, there's your next NBA guy for the Buffs.
Yeah, you can see the flashes of the offensive potential that he has, because especially when he's hitting the offensive boards. I think he had seven against Washington, had two or three putbacks there. You can see what he can do in there. He's got a nice, a little 12 to 15 foot jumper that he can hit when he's open. That's just going to continue to develop as he gets more confidence and doesn't, I don't want to say panic, but he overreacts a little bit under the basket once in a while. Once he starts to feel more confident in his game, he's going to get better on the offensive end. And he's a guy that's got a big, big ceiling.
Yeah, he gets sped up a little bit, I think, is the term that Tad uses frequently on the offensive end. And you see that with young players a little bit. Hey, on Thursday after practice, Tad was asked about this. I want to get your take on it. There's talk of a 20-game conference slate in Pac-12 play. For me, I've got a tough time digesting it and really kind of getting behind that concept. I understand why they're doing it. What's your take on it?
Well, the Big Ten does that. The Big Ten actually plays a couple conference games before the Christmas break. That's what would happen here probably, is they would play a couple games before the Christmas break. I think it's good and bad. Tad made a good point that it hurts the smaller division schools, the Mountain Wests, the Missouri Valleys, the Big Wests, conferences like that that want to play Power 5 teams, that want to play big conference teams. That's taken a couple games away from them, and that's how they improve their resume when they're talking about the NCAA tournament. It's how they improve their profile. It also makes it tougher on coaches. They like that non-conference schedule all the way through the Christmas break, because they can play games, they can mix and match their lineup, do a whole lot of different things. Puts a little more pressure to be playing those conference games that much sooner, and there's the cost and factor involved. But I think I personally would like to see it. I'm not sure that Tad Boyle is a fan of it, but just as a fan of the game, as a fan of the Pac-12 and conference basketball, sure, I'd like to see conference games right before Christmas.
Certainly a big one coming up here tonight with Utah in town, a team that's had the Buffs number here in recent years. In fact, Colorado's lost seven straight to the Utes. Our coverage tonight gets underway at 6:30 with the Buffs warm-up presented by Safeway. Tip-off between Colorado and Utah just after 7 o'clock. Before we let you go here, Neil, let's segue into football a little bit. Since the last time we chatted, there's been some coaching additions. You got Quan Drake, defensive line coach, and a guy I was tickled to see come back, Ashley Ambrose, who was here with Dan Hawkins a few years ago and thought very highly of him, ran into him, in fact, at the Las Vegas Bowl here a few weeks ago when he was coaching for Boise. So two additions, staff's now completed, a thought or two on those two guys joining.
Well, I like the additions to the defensive staff. I think Quan Drake is one of those guys that has been touted as a great young up-and-coming defensive coach, a great defensive line coach. He's gotten some high, you know, great recommendations from people around the country. I think he'll be a nice addition just on that defensive line and maybe putting a little spark in there and adding a little excitement and enthusiasm to that group. And that's obviously where they need a lot of improvement right there. That's where that group has to take a lot of steps. I also like Ashley Ambrose coming in. Here's a guy who played at a very high level in the NFL at that position. He coached some great corners when he was here. Jimmy Smith. He coached Jimmy Smith when he was here, so he knows how to coach the position. I think it adds more to, you know, going back to a couple years ago when Colorado had a safeties coach and a corners coach. That worked out very well. I think he'll pair well with Shadon Brown back there. Shadon will be the passing defense coordinator. So I think overall it's a nice, you know, step up in that direction. It gives that defense another set of eyes, and certainly that's where Colorado struggled last year. Another set of eyes can't hurt.
You know, this will be the last time we'll talk here in the podcast before signing day next week on Wednesday is when the actual signing is. Our celebration happening down in Denver is the following day on Thursday. I hope you get a chance. By the way, go to CUBuffs.com, get your tickets, get out there for that big event. Chad Brown and I will host that, and of course we'll kind of meet the new Buffaloes, if you will. What's been the read on how this has all been affected by what we did in December now and what we're going to see here with the traditional signing day?
Well, I think, you know, the traditional signing day has certainly gone down dramatically in importance. I think you're seeing most of the schools around the nation signed the vast bulk of their recruits in December. Colorado certainly, you know, in that group, they signed, I think, 21 back in December. I think they're going to sign two, maybe three kids next week. So it's just, you know, picking and choosing and filling a couple of holes that you think you might want to address on this last signing day. And I think that's only going to grow, Mark. I think the traditional big February signing day is now a thing of the past. And certainly next week it'll be fun to finally wrap the whole thing up. But I think it's going to be more and more like basketball, where that first signing day is the big one. The second one is just kind of wrapping things up.
Do you think this being the first year of having the early signing day, did anything happen? Did it unfold any way that was unexpected that may detract from what they were planning on doing? Maybe there'd be some critics of this, or did it pretty much was it pretty benign to the point where this is what we're going to look like moving forward?
I think most, you know, if you talk to most coaches and most programs around the nation, it unfolded pretty much like they thought it was going to. You know, they all got their guys signed in December. They got that out of the way, and now they're picking and choosing, as I said, going down the stretch to get this next signing day accomplished. What it also did was I talked to the coaching staff from Colorado this week. They're already working on that on the next year's signing class. You know, their February right now is almost like their May used to be. They're now visiting homes of kids, and they're now talking to kids, going to high schools and talking to kids that they're going to be signing next December. That wouldn't have been the case a year ago. So what it did is it sped up the calendar a little bit, gave them a little more time at home. Coaches weren't out every weekend over the last couple of weeks. They've actually had time to spend some time at home. So it sped up the process a little bit, but I think it gave everybody a nice jump on the next signing class. And what that means is if you're identifying players now and doing a good job of that, then it's going to help you.
Lastly here, before we let you go, and Neil Welker, CUBuffs.com, here on the Buffs Insider Podcast, we're going to hear from Tad Boyle coming up here in just a couple minutes. How is it, after the Senior Bowl, Philip Lindsay did not get an invite to the combine? Do you want to explain that to me?
I cannot figure out. You know, you look at all the players who are going there, and I was looking through the list, and I'm not going to name any names, but I was looking at some of the running backs that are going there, and I'm thinking, my gosh, this is, you know, I don't think those guys have a great shot at making an NFL roster. I look at Philip Lindsay, and he may not get drafted because he is not going to have the measurables that everybody wants as far as size, okay? He's not that big a guy. But, you know, and you know this as well as I do, Mark, measuring that heart is a tough thing to do. And I guarantee you, when they get that kid into a camp, they're going to have a hard time letting go of Philip Lindsay.
I just think, and you and I are biased, we'll fully admit that. We love the kid. We had a chance to cover him during his career. But that guy is going to end up on an NFL roster somewhere. And I told you before, when I was with Vance Joseph early this season, and he was the first guy he asked me about, he goes, I love that kid. I love his heart. I can't believe at this point, at the Senior Bowl, everyone get a chance to see these guys and test him and see the tape and the reputation, all that somebody hasn't said, we need to get a closer look at him. Let's bring him in. So disappointing there. But nonetheless, he's not going to be at the combine. He'll do very well at the pro day when that rolls around here at the University of Colorado. That's Neil Welker. KSUBuffs.com. We turn our attention now to the head coach of the Colorado Buffaloes, coming off a sweep last week in a couple of competitive games down at Arizona, losing to two top 25 teams in the Wildcats and the Sun Devils. The head coach talking about that and looking ahead to tonight's game with Utah.
I mean, nothing that we didn't expect going down to the desert. It's always a tough trip, especially now with Arizona State playing the way they're playing and having as explosive a team as they have this year. But thought we really battled against Arizona on Thursday. I was really pleased with our effort and our mentality in a tough environment. We came up a little bit short, but they had to make two big-time plays, you know, with good defense in my mind to beat us. And again, with Arizona, you have to go beat them. They're not going to beat themselves. But we gave ourselves a chance, which is all you can ask when you go down there.
What have you learned about this team from a personality standpoint now, 10 games into a conference season? What impressed me about the game on Thursday, Ted, was it looked like Arizona might pull away from you guys.
Yep.
There was a 4 or 5 minute stretch in the early second period, but the Buffs responded. What have you learned about this group?
Well, I've learned that we've got fight, we've got toughness, we've got a spunk about us, that we're not afraid of anybody, we don't back down from challenges. Sometimes we're not quite good enough yet or consistent enough yet. Mm. Consistent is probably a better word than good, because we are good when we play the way we're capable of playing, but we're not consistent enough to really put ourselves in the top half of this league as of yet. Now, there's still a lot of basketball to be played. So that's the challenge as we move forward. But, again, I like this team. I think our young guys are really growing up. I think, again, George King and Dom Collier are giving us a lot of stability and consistency for two seniors. So some good things are happening. Sometimes, you know, I heard it say this before the season started. The Pac-12 is one of those leagues where you can play well and still lose. Mm. And I think that was the case against Arizona. We played well. We still lost that game. But that's the way this league is.
Quick aside from your team, you just kind of sparked a thought in me. I wonder a little bit, with the 13, 14 guys that left this league a year ago to go to the NBA, is this league getting as much respect nationally as maybe it should be, in your mind?
Well, no, but a lot of that comes on ourselves in terms of our non-conference performance in the non-conference games. And I always look at ourselves first, but I think throughout the league, we had some really good wins. Arizona State beats Kansas, Washington
Xavier.
Beats Kansas, yeah. Xavier. Some really good non-conference wins for our league, but not enough by every single team in our league. But look, the reality is we lost 14 NBA draft picks from a year ago. So a lot of us are replenishing the cupboard, so to speak. And in November and December, we may not be playing in midseason form. But I think you look at a team like Washington, you look at a team like USC now, Stanford is healthy, playing better. I'd put Colorado, we're a team that keeps getting better and better and better. We're a heck of a lot better today than we were in November and December, but we don't get credit for it because we're beating each other up.
How about this week here now? The Buffs are off until Friday night. Utah coming in here. When you play your travel park, and you get some extra time to kind of catch your breath. How does that affect the team?
Well, you know, we're using it to get healthy, both in the training room and also in the gym. You know, getting our jump shots healthy, getting our ball handling, getting, you know, some of the skill work that sometimes you don't have as much time to work on in those two-game weeks where you got back-to-back games Thursday, Saturday, and you're putting in game plans. Now is a time for us to really get in the gym and kind of work out some kinks, so to speak, get in the training room, get our bodies healthy, and get our minds healthy.
And the last few seconds here, Utah's been a challenge for the Buffaloes here recently.
Yes, they have. Yeah. They have owned us over the last 3.5 years. So we've got some really tough battles, both at home and in Salt Lake, but we've got to come up on the other end of the spectrum when it comes to that wins and losses, because they're a good team, quality team, well coached, but I expect a battle on Friday night.
All right, Coach, good luck on Friday.
Thank you.
Good to catch up with the Buffs head coach ahead of tonight's game with Utah at the Coors Event Center. Again, our coverage gets underway at 6:30, tip-off at 7 on the Colorado Basketball Network, and streaming live at CUBuffs.com. You know, there's a guy in this team that has been thrust into probably more minutes than he expected to play in his redshirt freshman season. That is 7-footer Dallas Walton out of Arvada West High School. With the injury to Torrey Miller-Stewart and Evan Batty going down with a decision by the NCAA, the big guy's been thrown into a starting position for the Buffs and has responded very well for Colorado. He knew that going down to the desert last week was going to be a big challenge for the Colorado Buffaloes.
Without a doubt. I mean, it was a revenge tour for them. I mean, we beat them when they came here and kind of shocked them and shocked a lot of people. So I knew that when we were going there, it was going to be a dogfight.
Did you have a sense before the ball game? I mean, I know that the crowd was jacked up. We could feel that.
Oh, yeah.
Sean Miller threw a pizza party, by the way, for their C unit, what they call the zoo there, night before. So you knew they were going to be in waiting.
Oh, yeah. They were ready. There was a lot of signs, a lot of people yelling from the stands, and it was a hostile environment for sure.
That kind of environment, that'd be the first time as a college player you faced that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. Facing it. I mean, as a redshirt freshman last year, I had the opportunity over the break to go to Utah and Arizona and Arizona State, and I got to experience the Arizona atmosphere firsthand on the bench, but I never watching it in, like, from the stands and then watching it on the court is two different, or like being a part of it on the court is two different things. It's crazy.
How about the way the game unfolded? I mean, it looked like Arizona might be pulling away. There's about 3-4 minute span there, start of the second half. But you guys fought back pretty tough. It was a very good basketball game. How do you kind of walk away from that contest?
Well, with the Arizona game, I mean, the way that we fought is something that we can be proud of coming out of that game. I mean, we really did give. Everything that we gave a lot. I mean, I wouldn't say we gave everything, but we gave a lot. We gave our hearts and souls to that game, and the results were not what we wanted. But as far as the energy and the effort that we played with, I was very proud of our team.
So the Buffaloes dropped game one of that swing through Arizona down in McHale Center in Tucson, Arizona, the Wildcats. We'll talk about the ASU game with Dallas Walton as you also get ready for the Utah team coming in here at the end of the week. But first, a great new partnership here at the University of Colorado. It's the Buffaloes and Children's Hospital. Last week, they kicked it off along with some student athletes and the cheer team. Great partnership between the Buffaloes and the Children's Hospital, one of the great institutions here in the Front Range in the state of Colorado. We continue with redshirt freshman big man for the Buffaloes, Dallas Walton. Let's go on to Saturday now. Buffaloes in Tempe to take on the Sun Devils. Colorado didn't seem as crisp in that ballgame against the Sun Devils on Saturday.
I mean, we did kind of lose a little bit of our kind of like our edge that we kind of showed, displayed at Arizona. Just kind of defending, I mean, especially on the road, one thing that we really did struggle with is turnovers. And in that game, we turned the ball over too much, made a lot of mistakes that we can control. One thing our coach says a lot is control what you can control, and that means like controlling rebounds, controlling turnovers, because rebounding and taking care of the ball travels.
And the one thing we know about that ASU team, when they hit a couple of 3-pointers, it can just get rolling on you.
We kept them to no 3-pointers in the first half, and then once they started making them in the second half, they got hot. And we can't allow teams like that to get hot.
With all the minutes you've been playing, what do you think you're learning about your game right now that's helping you improve?
It's something I'm learning a lot. I mean, I'm learning something new every game, and I think that's something you have to take in, especially as a freshman. Things that you're good at, things that you can do consistently, and one thing that I do credit myself with is I'm always going to give my all 100% effort and make the smart plays.
You've become a very good shot blocker for the Buffaloes. Is that intentional or is it just circumstantial?
That's one thing that the team needs me to do is be a rim protector for this team. I mean, when somebody gets beat, I need to be there, help out my teammates, just like the kind of you got my back, I got your back as well.
All right, now the Buffs come home. They got a 3-game homestand. Big ball game on Friday against Utah.
A huge ball game. I mean, we've had trouble with them since I can remember. I mean, since even before I was here. So it's time. Just time to break that streak.
I like it. Always good to be back home. Good luck on Friday.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
7-footer Dallas Walton certainly got a bright future for the University of Colorado, and he's going to be called upon tonight to play very well against a Utah team that comes in playing some pretty good basketball right now, and certainly has had the Buffs' number, winning 7 straight over Colorado. Should be a heck of a game tonight. Hope you'll join us on the radio broadcast. Yours truly, along with Scott Wilkie, will hit the air at 6:30 Mountain Time tonight with Buffs Warm Up, presented by Safeway, followed by the tip-off between Colorado and Utah at 7 o'clock. The game will also be streaming live at cubuffs.com. For Neil Welk, Tad Boyle, and Dallas Walton, I'm voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. We'll talk to you tonight on the radio, but we thank you for joining us this week on the Buffs Insider.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.